Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Who's the guy to help shed a head on game day with these decisions? Who's, like, McVay, remember he first came out, he learned the game. He had Wade Phillips. Yeah. He had
the clock management guy.
He had so much experience on that coaching staff in the front office. We got to remember, John Lynch is a first-time GM. Shanahan is a first-time head coach.
Yeah, but they're 6 years in.
I wiped that away. But who is helping these guys with decision makings? There's still nobody telling Shanahan, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, because he has full autonomy in the team. Full autonomy in decision making and the personnel and the play calling.
The game situation, or the situational management game to game, it leaves a lot to be desired.
It's a nightmare.
You know, like, here's a great example. Just the other day, okay, it's third and long with 10 minutes to go, okay? You have to understand, you're in four down territory, all right? You're down by 1 point. You're at the 47. And you throw an underneath pass that gets knocked down. And it's just, to me, that's four down territory. Get me 3 or 4 yards right there. And again, we could argue about the quarterback or this, that, and the other. But you end up punting from your own 47. When you went for it the week prior against Seattle, right. Now you can say, Joe, circumstances were different. You know, the settings were different. It's not Russell Wilson. But, like, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of inconsistencies within the own game of going for it and when not to go for it. Kyle, it feels like he's flipping a coin out there at times. Like, the short yardage situation stuff, I can think on my head, there's been two times he's won a game. One of them was the Ram game last year where he threw to Kittle on a fourth down, fourth and two, and ended up changing that game, where he's won a game being aggressive.
Yep.
And I wish that he would be more aggressive, and I understand why he doesn't, and I feel like it goes right back to the confidence in the quarterback.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I don't know about
that. But it also feels like a crutch. It also feels like a crutch.
How long can you use that excuse? Hold on. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and AC1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game for the best and most up-to-date sports coverage. And do not forget, you can also watch us every day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log on and search 95.7 The Game. YouTube, what is happening? Twitch, what is happening? Comcast Business Text Line, I see ya. And good morning to everybody out there calling, getting ready for work. 888-957-9570. Keep going back to the quarterback. I'm tired of hearing about the quarterback because we know who he is. How long are we going to use this crutch that Jimmy G isn't the answer? Jimmy G's not the answer. Why is he still here? Why is the head coach telling everybody on a Friday he's one of the best throwers on the planet?
Well, he's trying to prop him up.
It's too late for that.
He's trying to prop
him up. That relationship is damaged. Here's what Steve Young said yesterday.
I don't dismiss that.
Here's what Steve Young said yesterday about the relationship between Kyle and Jimmy.
The trust between head coach Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo has never been what it needed to be.
Yeah.
How do I gain trust? Because how did he try to manage the situation? I managed with a great, innovative running game.
Yeah.
It's really one of the best in the league.
Exactly.
Yes. They don't have the runner now. Yes. They've got people hurt. So there's no way to not expose this lack of trust. It has to come out now, and they have to see if they can work it out.
They've never had trust between each other. Or Shanahan hasn't trusted Garoppolo. So the Garoppolo excuse saying, yeah, I don't trust Garoppolo. Well, you know what, Shanahan? You had many chances to move off of him. Many. And yet he's still here. You don't get that excuse anymore. So, I can't go there anymore. We know who Garoppolo is. We know he's a game manager. We know he's going to miss throws. We know the Jimmy Odell throws are coming. I know all that stuff. I know all that stuff. But part of the reason why he's here is because of the head coach.
I can't argue that part. I really can't. I mean, I really can't. But going back to like the trusting thing, at some point, like Jimmy's got to make some plays for crying out loud. Guys are open. Not all the time, but there are guys open, and he just skips balls. Or he makes horrible decisions. I mean, Mark Willard, to his credit, I'm listening to him yesterday saying it over and over, and he's so right. It's first down. And Jimmy, not Kyle, Jimmy, first down, is throwing into triple coverage to Debo, who's not open at all. Like, at some point, we got to look at some of these players and say, dude, you got to play better. Now, look at the screenplay from the one.
That's on Shanahan.
Agreed. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. But there's other times in the game where you're like, come on, guys, make a play for me here.
Right. See, and I agree with that. Garoppolo's got to make plays. But he hasn't made those plays.
I know.
He hasn't made those plays. After the 2019 Super Bowl, or 2020, early February, the 2019 season, Shanahan basically told us in that game he doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. So he's back for 2020, 2021, and 2022. We knew 3 years ago he didn't trust his quarterback. Yet he's still here?
Well, it's hard to move off people when you have guaranteed money. I mean, that goes back to the personnel.
They had opt-out clauses, though.
I know.
April 1st, they had opt-out clauses for Jimmy. They could have moved off this guy forever.
So we've hearing a lot about Sean Payton, though, B. Right.
Right?
We've heard a lot about Sean Payton. If I just took Drew Brees away from Sean Payton, does everyone still want him? They won the one Super Bowl, and I'm not taking it away from them.
Sean Payton was really good as a coordinator with the New York Giants.
Horrific losses.
You know what, though?
You know what,
though? You know what, though? Sean Payton had really good game, really good seasons with Kerry Collins in New York. Dallas, they made some things happen. In Dallas, as an offensive coordinator, New Orleans, he built that team up, and they were one of the most potent offenses throughout his tenure. They were one of the most potent offenses. Yes, they have a lot of playoff failures.
Huge ones.
That's what happens in the NFL. Andy Reid has them. Belichick has them. Bill Walsh has them.
So then
George
Seifert
has them.
Why can't we extend that to Shanahan?
We do.
You think we do?
We do. But he's had four losing seasons out of six. Or excuse me, three losing seasons out of five so far.
Mm-hmm.
And so far they're 1-2.
Like if I were to flip it and say, hey, they had Drew Brees here on this offense. I feel like a lot of the issues that we've got with Shanahan go away.
But I go back to, you could have had Tom Brady.
I can't be. That's the guy I wanted. It drives me nuts.
A lot of people wanted him.
It drives me nuts.
But he could have had Tom Brady.
I know.
And he could have had Deshaun Watson.
And they whiffed.
He could have had Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
He could have maybe traded for Matthew Stafford. He had Trey Lance. And he ran him like a fullback. So all these excuses we keep going back to, it goes back to Shanahan. And that's why my faith in him, long term, like I'm going to watch this season no matter what. The Niners could be 1-10. I'm going to be locked in
obvious.
On Shanahan.
Yeah, that's
obvious. No, it's not obvious because some people will tune out.
Okay.
But I'm going to be watching this saying, does the team quit on him? Do they get better when it comes to committing penalties? Do they get better when it comes to takeaways? Okay, they lost a takeaway game against Denver on Sunday night.
I know.
They lost a takeaway game again. And they've been in the bottom half of the league when it comes to takeaways, giveaways throughout his tenure. That's a trend. Yeah. This is a trend, Shasky. The pass attempts.
I can't
the
argue those trends.
The points per game. The points per game, they've been in the 20s. Four times now in the last 6 years. So far, they're in the 20s.
Look, this is why I'm so conflicted with Shanahan. Because I do believe the guy does so many great things out on the field. Because I see guys open, and you're like, wow, this guy's a stud, right. And this guy's a stud, and this guy's a stud. And then I go back to this basic question. Joe, are you more confident in him and quarterbacks in fixing that situation now or when they started in 2017?
You were more confident in 2017, huh?
I feel like I was.
You're not confident now. I know you're not. And I know a lot of Niner fans aren't.
There's just so much unknown. I feel like there's more question marks.
A lot of question marks.
I mean, they had nothing. They were starting from scratch.
Scratch.
And I feel like nothing's changed. And that's the biggest disappointment. And they've had so much success. And they've had some down years. They have had so much success. But the biggest frustration is you don't have the quarterback spot fixed. And that's the thing that's like,
he hasn't fixed a quarterback spot. And it's year six. AJ Freebaugh, before we hit the break. AJ Freebaugh, what's happening? He's listening on his car radio. He's on the Russ. What's up, AJ?
Guys, good morning, and I'm always, you know, on this morning, and
thank
I'm
you.
Up. I hear you guys all the time. So two things,
thank you.
Right? I mean, one thing is we all know that DeMarco Ryans will be gone end of the season. He goes, he's going to take few good, you know, people with him. Now, the way offense is going down the hill, we have defense is gone, so we're not going to have a defense guy sitting on the team on, you know, with us. And Kyle Shanahan is Kyle Shanahan, so last, you know, history speaks for himself. So what happens to Jed York? Do you really think that he's going to sit back and say, oh, wow, I got to rebuild the team again? That's my first question. Second thing is that the way Jimmy handled the media, that was highly unprofessional.
What part?
I mean, blaming the people. You know, when he said, oh, these, I was not in sync with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, their team. This was his team from 5 years. This is his team. I mean, yeah. He was never off. I mean, I understand he went through all this kind of stuff, but he can't blame on these people at all. Take, be a man, take responsibility, and yeah. Say, guys, I screwed up. I got to fix my game. Period.
Yep. No, you're right.
Emotional and intelligence is the number one attribute in sports for my leaders.
Right.
You look at Steph Curry, emotional intelligence. Josh Allen, you see him. Self-awareness, emotional intelligence.
I saw a little bit with Trey Lance.
When I look at Jimmy Garoppolo, the last thing I think about is emotional intelligence. He just be saying stuff.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not in game shape. Yada, yada, yada. Last week it was like riding a bike. You're comfortable. This week it's
I need OTAs. And it wouldn't matter if he was spectacular,
right.
But he's not spectacular.
No, he's not. All right. Duke of the City. We'll get you on the other side. Plus, Brian Baldy. At 7:30 here on the Morning Roast, that's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Boom, 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 boom. Brian Baldinger. Coming up in 12 minutes on the Morning Roast to break down what happened in Denver between the Niners and the Broncos. Niners dropped to 1-2, losing 11-10. 11-10, and today we're talking about some of the questionable decisions, not only in that game, but some of the questionable decisions Kyle Shanahan has made, because there's a lot of talk. Damon Bruce said, you know, the defense is getting wasted, not by Garoppolo, not by the rookie quarterback, but maybe by Kyle Shanahan. Baldy mentioned this in August, back in August. It's like, no, they're going to miss Mike McDaniel. And then I hear Mark Willard, and he said, hey, if the Niners ever fire Kyle Shanahan, there will be a line around the block waiting on Kyle Shanahan to hire him. Now, personally, I wouldn't care about that because we'd all be fixated on who the guy is for the 49ers. At that point, it'd be like, hey, Shanahan, happy trails. Good luck to you in the future. We're on to the next. But I'm not there with Shanahan. I'm not there on the firing or whatnot. But I'm seeing some alarming trends with Kyle Shanahan, Shasky.
Well, okay, just one thing.
Alarming trends.
I'm not here to fire Shanahan
at
all.
We're not. We never said that.
I want to ask you a question. Remove Shanahan. Just remove your emotion and your attachment to Shanahan. In terms of, oh, there'd be millions of people lining up to go get him. Okay, fine. When you've decided to move off someone, in general, whatever industry it is.
You move off.
You can't worry about that person remarrying.
No doubt.
Right? You just can't. You have to worry about who you're going to marry next. And I just look at where the Niners are now versus where they were when they hired Shanahan. I feel like they're viewed around the league much better today than they were then.
No doubt.
You were coming off of four different head coaches in 4 years, leaks like crazy, no one wanted the job, you had to overpay. I mean, people were declining to even talk to you. I don't think that's the case now.
No.
So you cannot, if they, and I'm not saying they're going to get there, and I don't want them gone, but I'm just saying in terms of it being a desirable job, I think it's much more desirable today than it ever was when Shanahan was a offensive coordinator looking to interview for the job currently.
I'm with you. Here's what RG3 said yesterday about Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers. RG3 on Monday Night Countdown. Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, to your point, does Jimmy still give them the best chance to win? That question to me is very simple. Yes, he does, but it's only because Trey Lance is no longer available. All you guys said that Jimmy G was going to make them a better team right now than Trey Lance would, and I disagreed with you. And what you saw in that game is exactly why. The man went full Orlovsky. And you never go full Orlovsky.
And then throw the pick six.
I don't know what was worse, that or the pick six that got called back. So, listen, their recipe for success has always been protecting Jimmy by running the ball and getting it into Deebo Samuel's hands early so he can go get that yak yardage. And so, right now, without Trent Williams, that's going to be
– You know, be – they're bringing up something that I kept saying the whole time while we're watching Jimmy G and during the summer. Like, this thing that we do, this thing in sports, we listen to the dumbest argument and we prop it up. Trey's not ready. I hear that from – I'm out at a golf tournament yesterday, okay, for a fundraiser for the Benedetti family. And it was an awesome day, and for the Junior Giants. And the amount of people – well, Trey's just not ready. Yeah. And I'm like, based off what have you seen –
based off what?
What have you seen? But here's my kickback. Okay, Trey's not ready, which, fine. You can have that opinion based off the five quarters. Fine. Throw that to the side.
Does Jimmy look ready?
Is a nine-year veteran who does not see the field.
Right. Does Jimmy Garoppolo look ready?
His football IQ is horrific.
Horrific. So let me jump in here. Because that's the thing I think people misunderstood from me yesterday. I was irate, not about the game, but about everything leading up to the game and the aftermath of the game.
Like what? The way we talk about?
The way we discuss Trey Lance saying, number one, he's not ready. I'd never believe that. I believe Trey was more than ready. What I saw in Chicago, I said, this is my guy. This guy's ready to take off. Now things went awry in Chicago. Monsoon hits, game over. We forget the first two drives against Seattle, the Niners threw the ball like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. But the problem was, Trey kept running. My biggest beef with what happened last week, and it started during the game, where people say, boy, Bonte, you got to admit, the Niners did look better with Jimmy Garoppolo under center. And I'm like, how are we going to determine that after just five quarters of football?
Because people, and I've now realized it, people are comfortable with what they've seen before, and they associate disproportionately Jimmy Garoppolo's impact on success. And they're like, well, he was the guy who was there while we were successful, hence we have to do this transitive property thing where he's part of the reason, and so he stays there.
We did the same thing with the Warriors last year. People say, boy, Wiggins gets into the playoffs. I don't know. Jordan Poole gets into the playoffs. It's his first go-round in the postseason. I don't know. Is Looney going to hold up? Is he going to be ready?
You're right.
A lot of people said the Warriors wouldn't be ready. A lot of people said the Wiggins wouldn't be ready. And Poole didn't get ready.
It's these casual opinions. Like, Steph Curry wasn't good. I mean, again, take Jimmy G off the side.
Right.
We said for how many months, years, as a national media, not you and I, but nationally, Steph Curry's done nothing in big games. When we all knew the data points and all the games, you and I have cited him over and over and over and over and over again.
He's been more than ready.
Yet the loud noise now supersedes the facts.
Right. Right.
It's the same thing with Jimmy G. We have pounded in the head of people the win-loss record.
It's just, it's not only that.
It drives me crazy.
What else drives me crazy, too, is that we all salivate over Josh Allen now. We all salivate over Lamar Jackson now. They weren't ready when they first played.
No.
Well, they got better with reps. And then how many people go ahead and just, they put Herbert on this pedestal. And they put Herbert in the same class as Mahomes and Josh Allen. And I'm saying to myself, Kyler Murray's been to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd probably rather have Justin Herbert. But Herbert, he hasn't been to the playoffs yet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's been to the playoffs. Why don't we just elevate Herbert because we see a couple of national TV games and he throws the ball all over the place? They've lost a lot of big games. And the game they lost last Thursday night, he threw the game-winning 99-yard pick on the back throw.
Well, what's crazy, no, you're right. You're 100% right. What's crazy is that we do this thing, like, well, Jimmy was under center when they went to the playoffs. They don't even get to the playoffs last year without the Trey win.
No.
It's as if that game didn't even happen.
It's as if that game didn't even happen. And so part of my frustration yesterday was...
And it wasn't a perfect game.
No, it wasn't a perfect game at all. It was a tale of two halves.
He was good
in the second
game.
Half, he adjusted, and the Niners won that football game to give him a chance to go to the playoffs. The thing, and people were doing this in the thread, they were posting preseason highlight packages of Trey Lance against the Texans. And I'm like, why don't you post week 17 from last year against the Texans in the game that mattered? All right, let's get to Duke of the City. He's been waiting on the car radio. Duke of the City, one of our favorites here on the Russell.
What's up, Duke?
Yes, good morning, y'all, man. Beautiful show, man. My brother and nephews, man. This is a great, great show y'all having this morning, man. My issue, man, is with I know, Shafka, you got Shanahan back, man, but the play calling is becoming predictable, man. You know what I mean? Everything that Shanahan does, you can see it's like the defense knows what they're getting ready to do before they even do it, you know? And then the relationship with him and Jimmy G, they don't have a relationship. That's why our offense is looking splintered like it's looking, because the quarterback and the head coach got to have some type of relationship together, you know? And they don't have no relationship. At all. You know, Jimmy overthrowing people, he underthrowing people, he's throwing in the double coverage, he's backing out the end zone, he's doing nothing that an experienced quarterback should be doing after playing for nine seasons, stepping out of the back of the end zone. I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Now you can see why everybody won't Trey in there. Yeah, we won't Trey. We won't Trey, but we stuck with Jimmy. That's what it is. We stuck with him at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then that's just what it is, y'all. So hopefully that defense catch up, the offense catch up to the defense, because it's going to be a shame to see the Super Bowl defense go to waste with an offense sputtering like they sputter. Man, they averaging 15 points a game. We 27th in the league in scoring, y'all, man. I'm out of here, man. I love y'all, man.
And they were 20th last year, Duke. Good call. They were 13th last year and 21st a year before. They've never, outside of 2019, if you take 2019 away, because that was a spectacular season, they've never been hired in 13th outside of 2019. They've been 13th, 20th, 21st, and 28th so far this year. And you could say the quarterback, you could say the injuries, you could say all those things. But we hired Shanahan because he was a great offensive mind, right? And his offense has been anything but great. It's been, hey, let's play smash mouth football. Let's not turn the ball over. Let's hand the ball over to our defense and stuff it out. Does that sound like a great offensive philosophy?
No, but it also feels very limited because of the guy that you got pulling the trigger. And it's hard for me to sit here and visualize what it would look like with a better quarterback. I don't know. I don't know what it would look like, B. Here's the biggest issue.
And again, part of that is on the coach
that's the
for having
yes.
Like, think about this. We're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo in 2022 when, since 2019, really since 2019, midway through.
The Viking game.
Not even the Viking game. The first Packers game when somebody called the post-game show from Oakland and said, Bonte, the game should have been, it should have been a bigger route, but Jimmy missed throws in the first half. I said, they won 37-8. What are we nitpicking for? We don't, we're not allowed to nitpick when we have been garbage for years. I'm saying that about the 49ers. Yeah. We've talked about Jimmy for 2019. How long have I yelled, Shanahan, go get your guy? Been doing it since 2019.
Isn't that easier said than done? Like, the Jets have been trying to get their guy for 60 years.
Yeah, but you know what?
They
take chances on other guys.
They pivot really quick. Yeah, but they're also dysfunctional and they are
dysfunctional.
They're trying to win at a high level and not get fired.
But they pivot quickly.
No, that's true.
On the quarterback.
The biggest problem with Jimmy, I've talked about the football IQ, it just drives me nuts. When you play a veteran, okay? The cliche is, well, the veteran's going to minimize the amount of horrific things that can happen on the field. And yet when I watch Jimmy, more times than not, I feel like he is not minimizing turnovers at all.
Right.
Like, he's one of the reasons why they put themselves in very disadvantageous situations on the field.
Yep.
And that's the biggest problem that I've gotten. I feel like we've assigned all of the veteran attributes to Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Yet I'm not getting all of the veteran output that I'm looking for. Reducing turnovers, you know, putting this team in drivable situations where they can throw down the field, you know, minimizing sacks, all of the big-time net loss plays.
Making third-down throws. Third-down throws.
He didn't make any.
No, let's not. Let's get Baldy in the minute and a half here, Let's get Vince for 30 seconds. Vince, you got about 30 seconds here before we get to Brian Baldy or Vince in the city on his radio. What's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, so real quick, just wanted to say I think this is on Kyle because we had a chance to get Tom Brady, but his ego was too big to let someone else take over the offense. And just a kicker, I said last week that Jimmy G was the Andrew Wiggins, but he's playing more like Shane Falco. Thanks, guys.
Any problem, Vince. Good call there.
The replacements.
Good call there. Brian Baldinger joins us every single week at 7:30 here on the Morning Roast. He has some thoughts on the game in Denver Sunday night. One of the uglier Sunday night games we've seen in a long, long time. Broncos win 11-10. Niners dropped to 1-2. And it's a lot of doom and gloom this morning here in the Bay Area. Let's get the Baldy, Spadoni.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Baldy on the roast, looking dapper as ever on Twitter at BaldyNFL. We love talking. Look at the collar. Look at the blazer. He's ready to roll here. And look, Baldy does it down. I was loving his breakdowns of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was like, damn, look at the Jaguars flying around. Look at the play offensive football. They're running the ball, throwing the ball. Well, let's stick with the Niners here. And Baldy, right off the rip, I'm going to play a cut from what you said back when you first joined us for this football season back in mid-August. Here's what you had to say about the 49ers losing Mike McDaniel.
I could be wrong in this, so maybe I'm misspeaking, but I think he was the highest paid assistant coach in the NFL. Like, they didn't want to lose him. They never wanted to lose him. They didn't want to lose him in Atlanta. You know, Like, he knew the value of Mike. Because he's like, look, it's Revenge of the Nerds with Mike. Because he's willing to put 15 hours in a film room to find one motion that's going to work on Sundays that's going to take Luke Kuechly out of the mix, and you're going to run right by him. Hmm. Like, his ability to see how a defense reacts, anticipate how a defense is going to react, and then you counter that reaction. Like, he just had this skill that not a lot of people have.
So I want to ask you, Baldy, right off the rip, through three games, how much are the 49ers missing Mike McDaniel? When the Dolphins are 3-0, Niners are 1-2, and they look very, very predictable on offense.
I agree. I mean, I thought they would miss him, and I think they are. It just looks very beige, this offense. You know, I mean, you've got to put a color to it. It's just flat. Mm. I think Mike McDaniels is a big loss, because what Mike does, nobody's really willing to. Even if you're willing to put the time in, you don't know really what you're looking at. He just has that skill. And I thought it would. You can replace a running back coach. You can replace a run game coordinator. I mean, they get replaced all the time. But not somebody that is willing to do what Mike did. And so I thought it would show up. And look, you had one explosive run by Wilson. You're on your third running back. We understand that. One explosive run. Otherwise, I mean, they were struggling to get 2 yards a carry. And so it has looked like that for much of the season so far.
You know, Baldy, it's just so many places that I want to start. Let's start with the play. You're at the 1 yard line, and I don't know if it's designated as a screen type of a play or not, but from the rip, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? Now, Shanahan has run a play action play with Trey Lance at quarterback in the preseason from his own end zone, and that's aggressive, and I know a lot of coaches would never do that, but from the rip, that play felt like it was doomed. Break down that play for us.
Well, it was a play action. I mean, you know, there's a couple things if you're going to do that type of play. I mean, there's two things that I wouldn't do if I was a coordinator. Now, obviously, Kyle's, you know, he's the real guy. But, you know, you don't run screens typically, and you don't run play action, because any kind of an offensive penalty in the end zone is a safety.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, you know, put your foot in the back of the back line. You have an offensive tackle that just grabs somebody who's getting beat, and it's a safety. Like, there's just too many danger points about a play like that. That's why most teams, like, don't even quarterback sneak from the one, just to get you some breathing room, you know, just so that what happened doesn't happen. And so, you know, Purcell, you know, split him inside right there. He got pressure right up the middle. He was a hard guy to block for him all night as it was. So there wasn't great protection. But that's one of the things that you really fear. Your quarterback turns your back to the defense in that part of the field. You can't afford a mistake. And honestly, the safety was better than throwing the interception and the pick six that Bradley Chubb had. So it's like, pick your poison. Would you rather give up 6 points or give up, you know, 2 points and then the ultimate field goal? A 5-point play for the most part.
Well, and so obviously we can.
And they lost Trent Williams on that play.
Well, that's
where
I want to go. Like, obviously, we can rip the quarterback. He's got to know where he's at on the field. The coach, why are you calling that? You lose Trent Williams. That play felt like it changed the game completely. Obviously, the momentum of the safety, but then Jalen Moore comes in and he can't guard nobody, and they're just searching right now. How big of a loss is the Trent Williams one? Because I just don't know how they're going to be able to operate.
Well, you know, even if they're, you know, they're a left-handed team, they like to run to the left because Trent's there.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you just never know, like, how many different people he can eliminate on any given play just because of the style of play. But even when they cut back, even when they run to the right, I mean, Trent's ability to just take guys out of the picture on the backside opens up cutback lanes. So, and then, you know, if you're down there on the goal line, you want to try something like that. At least if you have Trent, you know, on a play, like, you feel a little bit better about turning your back to the defense if he's kind of anchoring your left side. I mean, he's the highest graded offensive lineman in the league last year, you know. Huh. Like, there's no backup. Now, so Jalen Moore comes in and another play action pass, which I didn't agree with him out there. And Randy Gregory, their best pass rusher, beats him cleanly. So now you put McKivitz in there. Now you're on your third tackle. Like, it's just, you know, I mean, every step you just weaken the group up front that was already trying to find their feet and trying to come together as a group with three new starters in there right now.
Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Joins us every single Tuesday at 7:30. And we love Baldy because he breaks it down better than anybody out there. You talking about the decision-making of Kyle Shanahan, the play-action passes. And we've questioned the decision-making since he started with Trey Lance to start the season and some of the plays that he ran with Trey Lance. But I want to get to Jimmy Garoppolo because he is a veteran. And last week, Baldy, when he replaced Trey Lance after he suffered the broken ankle, Jimmy said after the game, you know, it was like riding a bike. I felt comfortable. The players felt comfortable. Huddle felt comfortable. This week it was, you know, not having training camp and OTAs and, you know, I'm not really in game shape. We don't really want to hear that. But what about the decision-making of Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback for a veteran? I saw a guy look like a rookie out there on Sunday Night Football.
Well, I mean, when you can't convert a third down like they did until, I don't know, maybe the second or last drive, I mean, that's bad offense, period. Now, it was a bad offensive performance all night. But, you know, it always falls on the quarterback. I mean, there's a reason why they're the highest paid people on the field. Quarterback has to make decisions. The offense has to move. You have to fix things. Like, even if the play isn't right, like, you've got to make it work. Your decision-making, your accuracy, what you do with the football in your hands is why we basically watch the game. I mean, if you get backup scrub quarterbacks, it's unwatchable football in this league. You know, I mean, so you saw it last night to a degree, you know, from the Giants. I mean, your quarterback running around scrambling isn't offense.
No.
Like, you know, you might get first downs, but it's not offense. The offense, the quarterback's job is to get the ball to your wide receivers. They're the second highest paid players. They're your playmakers. You got to get the ball to them. Like, even when it's 11-10 in the bottom of the ninth, you know, with 2.5 minutes to go in the game, like.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just go down. You're at midfield. Go. It's first down. You can't throw the ball where he threw the ball in the middle of the field like that. Like, he knows that. Now, the left tackle, like, they couldn't pick up a Josie Jewell blitz to save their life all game long.
Three for like, three. I saw your breakdown. Three for three.
Like, I mean, the guy struck gold on three basic blitzes. I mean, they just picked him apart. Like, you can't let that happen. So, but you can't throw the ball in the middle of the field. Like, throwing the ball in the middle of the field in a crowd is you get done exactly what happens. The ball gets picked. Could have been picked a couple more times. Like, every time, I mean, as a fan, you guys, and me too, you see a ball tipped in the middle of the field, the first thing you think of, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Bad play. Interception. Mm-hmm. Like, almost always. So that's why some guys don't throw the ball in the middle of the field, you know, unless they have a wide open target. Like, don't throw the ball outside the numbers, all that. They won't even try it because of all the different hands that are in the way sometimes.
You know, Baldy, I'm watching Jimmy G the other night, and I'm saying, God, he just can't see the field. And it's like the decision making. It's just, it's so erratic. And we do all these like winner attributes. He's a winner. He wins games. And like, to me, the thing that we always talk about, he's physically limited. What about his mental makeup? What about his decision-making on the field? For someone who's played as long as he has in this system, am I right to say, like, what is he thinking out there? How are they not getting the ball to some of these playmakers? Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, like, they got guys out there, and yet I feel consistently the defense is two steps ahead of him.
Well, I mean, you just go back to the last interception. I mean, that interception, like, I've seen, like, I was just in Tampa this weekend, Brady and Rodgers going at it. Okay, the ultimate decision makers.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw, like, that was the first down throw that Jimmy had intercepted at the 47-yard line. Like, I saw both Brady and Rodgers, when there wasn't something there, just throw the ball on the ground. Like, literally, I'll go to second down, I'll throw it into the seats. Like, I'm not forcing the ball. If that's the only place I got to go right now, I'll throw the ball into the ground and I'll go to second down. And I felt like sometimes that's the best thing to do, is just throw the ball away and go to the next down.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I mean, it's been going on now for a while, not just this, you know, since George came back this week. But, like, I just don't feel like they call his number and they have plays for George.
Yeah.
Like, what am I looking at, Joe? Like, I just don't see – I see these tight ends in the league.
Thank you, right. Baldy.
I mean, you know, it
Thank
starts
you,
with
Baldy.
Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Like, I see these guys, and it's – they're calling plays – that everybody can watch. Clear outs, 3-by-1s, flex them, in motion, delay, tight end delays. Like, I see these plays for tight ends around the league. Now, you made them the highest paid tight end for a day in the whole league, and I don't feel like they use them at all.
I'm totally with you, and it drives me kind of crazy, to be quite frank. I'd love to see him use more in the red zone, and just in general more. But, like, the big counter-argument is, he's such a great blocker, and, you know, they don't have great protection, so you have to keep him in. And I'm like, I understand there's a balancing act here. He just doesn't get targeted enough for me. Like, they don't run specific plays to free him up, because he is a mismatch nightmare.
When you know teams are in man coverage, and you get them into man coverage, whether it's first down and, you know, they got the safety down to try to stop the run, whatever, and you're a man cover, it's like, you got to call plays for George. You just do. Like, he's too good with the ball in his hands after the catch. I don't care if it's rub routes. I don't care if it's delays. I don't care if it's tight end screens. Like, I just feel like even though he was, you know, active and healthy last week, you know, I understand the injury. But, like, it seemed like he was just invisible.
Yeah.
But it's not just last week. I felt like that for much of the season last year. And really, since he set the receiving record for, you know, yardage record by a tight end, I felt like they've kind of just gone away from him.
Yep.
And it's not because there's Ayuk and Debo. They get their targets. You know, like, look, Patrick Surtain threw a blanket over, you know, Ayuk. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's that good. All right, so if you know that, well, where's Kittle? All right, if you know Surtain can, like, just basically blanket your ex-receiver out there, then, like, let's start calling some plays for Kittle. I just feel, and I know George's a team player and never say anything, but it seems like they're not taking advantage of a good player.
Yeah, no doubt. And I got some numbers here for Kittle just on Sunday, Baldy. 51 of 56 snaps. 51 of 56 snaps. He lined up on the line of scrimmage next to a tackle 38 times. He was only in the slot 8 times, lined out wide 4 times, once in the backfield. That's not enough. You got to move him around here. Like, I saw your breakdown with Kyle Pitts. He's in the slot running wheel routes and mossing guys down the sideline. We want to see that from George Kittle. And then we want to see a little more from Debo. Shanahan talked about how teams are stuffing Debo in the run game. they look predictable and they've got to make an adjustment. The cat's out the bag. The cat's out of the hat, right? Everybody knows when Debo is freaking in the backfield, he's in the backfield, it's a run play. How do they get more creative with getting number 19 the ball instead of just at the line of scrimmage on either smoke routes, wide receiver screens, or just straight-up handoffs?
Well, it would help if they could keep running backs healthy. So, you know, I mean, Mason gets a carry, goes 7 yards. Like, I mean, I just think you got to get some healthy running backs so you're not putting him in that position where he is so predictable. And it can kind of change up. Put him back there, but still throw the ball. Have different formations with him and a running back in the backfield. Him and Juice in the backfield. I mean, various combinations where it's not so predictable. You know, and then they just got to do a better job blocking up front. But you're right. I mean, if I'm defending the 49ers and I see Debo back there, like, I got every alert in the world going. You know, the ball's going to 19. Mm-hmm. I got it. All right, we're going to treat him like a running back. We're going to, you know, we'll be in our gaps. We'll be gap sound. And we're not going to let him get these splits and hits that we saw him get through the second half of the season last year.
I want to ask you about the defense, Baldy, because they are playing lights out. And we should be spending more time talking about Hufanga, Fred Warner Jr., Drake Greenlaw, this defensive
Drake
line.
Drake Jackson's first sack.
His first sack. Kinlaw's playing well. Givens playing well. Bosa. The two corners on the outside. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want DeMeco Ryans leaving after the season because he's got these guys humming, Baldy.
They're as good as anybody in this league. And I just saw Tampa. They're awesome. Mm. Green Bay is very good. Philadelphia is playing lights out. Good defense, right? There's a lot of teams that are playing. The defense is way ahead of the offenses in this whole league right now. But the 49ers, when I watch them, I don't think there's a faster defense in the league. I mean, their speed at linebacker is second to none. There might be a faster linebacker than Fred Warner, but nobody reads a play faster than Fred.
Mm.
You watch them on the defensive line right now, like they are chasing everything down. Mm. They are so good. They've given up one touchdown in 2 weeks right now. And really, the only time that they have really gotten beat, and it started in Chicago, is when they go up against a quarterback like Fields or Russell, where they hold the ball for 5 or 6 seconds, and they kind of take a nap. You know, when the guy's just kind of running around out there. That's how that receiver, what was the kid's name?
Hinton, I think.
Yeah. Number 9. Yeah.
That kid Hint, like Emmanuel Mosley kind of went to sleep a little bit. Russell's out there running around, and they got a 27-yard play on that drive that they end up scoring on. That's how Dante Pettis scored against Chicago. Like, the only time they have broken down is when these quarterbacks extend the play for a long time. And then they kind of blink. They don't plaster the receivers. And that's how these plays have happened. Other than that, and it's happened 3 or 4 times this year, other than that, they're as good as anybody in this league.
Baldy, on your way out the door, what's the identity of this offense? Like, this year, if you were just looking at it through 3 games, like, because I know we want to run the ball, I feel like they got a couple of chunk plays and then a whole lot of nothing. Like, what's the identity of this offense right now?
I think the identity of the offense is their defense, just giving them good field position and getting the ball back to them.
Wow.
I mean, you think about this. Just on 12, they had like 15 possessions. But on 12 possessions on Sunday night, they had a first down or less. One or fewer first downs on 12 possessions.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
So if you ask him, what's the identity? The identity is, you know, you fumble the ball at midfield on a quarterback center exchange, the most basic play in football, and the defense gets you the ball back in 3 plays. Like, their identity right now is their defense. If the defense takes the ball away, forces a punt, like they've been doing for 3 straight games in a row, That's when the offense is basically feasting. Other than that, I can't give it to you, Joe.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Real quick, Baldy, before we get you out of here, Monday Night Football, Rams, Niners, rematch of the NFC Championship game. People have kind of fallen asleep on the Rams after they got blown out by Buffalo in the season opener. They've got back-to-back wins. Held on for dear life against Atlanta. Atlanta's a sneaky team. And then, of course, beating the Cardinals down in Glendale, Arizona. Where are the Rams at right now? How are they looking to you over the last 2 weeks?
They got flaws. I mean, they're not great right now. But they went through a dip in the middle of the season last year. They didn't get a win for a month. They lost 3 games, had a bye week. They didn't win a game in a month, and they came out of it. But the one thing I think you can count on, and this is just who he is, like, Stafford's going to give you 2. Now, they had the ball on the ground all day the other day. They couldn't recover a fumble. Like, the ball's just dribbling in front of them. They couldn't get it. There are going to be opportunities for loose balls and interceptions. And they have to be
They have to take advantage of it. You know, it's like watching the Warriors play basketball. Mm. Like, if there's a loose ball, the Warriors get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more than, you know, just, you know, Steph hitting threes. It's more than fast breaks. The ball's on the ground. The Warriors get the ball. Mm-hmm. And if I was the 49ers and I was, you know, coaching that team, I would show them Golden State Warrior clips of them getting every single loose ball and keeping balls alive. Like, because it's the same thing. The ball's on the ground. It's your ball. Like, get it. Recover it. Like, and so Stafford's going to give you two. You've got to catch it. You know, and so that's how the game is going to flip, and that's how they win the game.
Baldy, I'm now envisioning you, me, and Bonte courtside with Bob Myers going to a Warrior game when the NFL season is over, and I want Baldy to do some Baldy breakdowns on Draymond Green's pregame routine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll do that. And I'll break down every single shot in pregame from Steph because I've been watching it now for a decade.
Oh, man.
Like, nobody takes as many shots in a pregame than Steph Curry does.
Oh, man.
From every angle. I've seen him off the court.
Yes.
Hitting balls from behind the backboard.
Yeah.
Oh, he's unreal. And the chants are back. They had media day on Sunday. We got to make that happen.
Make it happen, Joe. I'll make the special trip.
I know.
I'd do that in a second.
House of Primary.
I love to ask you, Baldy, because I know you were in Tallahassee. See him on Knowles last week. Snuff out Boston College. You were in Tampa Bay. Where are you at this weekend? Where's the double dip happening?
I'm right in Vegas this weekend. Denver and the Raiders. Raiders, desperate. If they go to 0-4, I mean, just bury them. You know, just put them in the crypt. So they're trying to dig themselves out. Max Crosby and company. The quarterback's got to get a little tougher in the pocket, man. He's just got to stay in there.
No doubt. That's a big one. Our technical producer, Joe Spinotti, is a big Raider fan. He's depressed right now. He's ready to fire everybody, Baldy.
I understand. The relationship between Carr and Josh isn't off to a great start right now.
No doubt. Baldy, you're the best, man. We always love your breakdowns.
See you,
again next Tuesday.
Have a good one.
See you, man.
All right, Baldy. Okay. Brian Baldy, you're here on the Morning Roast. And there are so many things we can react to.
What was the
from that clip
for you?
The quarterback decision making, no doubt.
He seemed so flabbergasted by how bad some of the decisions were.
But he also said the offense, he said if you had to name it a color, it'd be beige. It's flat. It's nothing.
So when you see all the All-22 film that goes out and everyone's like, this guy's open and that guy's open, and like I don't even know, because I think it's so easy for me to see it and go, that guy's open, throw it to him. It's a lot harder to actually see that guy.
Right.
Is he the primary? Is he the secondary? Do I have time to step into my throw? Can I make that throw in that angle and dipping it over a lineman? But like when he was just talking about George Kittle in particular, we have talked about George Kittle in the Bay Area. George Kittle stands at a podium. He's wearing his little glasses and everything.
Right.
He's doing his little thing.
Right.
It gets 50,000 views from every single one of the beat writers.
Yep.
And we target this guy three times, four times in a game, and that's it?
He's a glorified right tackle. But this is why I've been saying this for a long time. It's like, you look at the way Kelsey's used. Darren Waller, Kyle Pitts, Dallas Goddard in Philadelphia.
I mean, Goddard, yes. I mean, even Schultz for the Cowboys when he's healthy.
The way they use him. Even the Rams tight end. Who's the backup in the NFC Championship game?
And now they got the Higbee.
Yeah, but it was somebody else because Higbee got hurt. And they used the other guy, and he had like seven targets.
Yeah, he killed us.
Kittle? Like, they go to Kittle once in the NFC Championship, and I know he scored a touchdown in the third quarter to make it 17-7, and then it feels like they just stopped going to him.
Yeah.
And stopped going. Like, at some point, I'm almost going to go look at the players and say, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, you're going to go up to Shanahan and say, hey, give me the freaking ball. It's go time. Like, remember Debo in a wild card game? After they got the interception, K'Wan Williams, the interception against Dak Prescott. And Debo said, Kyle, get me the damn ball. And Kyle gave him the ball, and he scores a touchdown to give him a commanding lead, which they held on. It's almost like Kittle needs to be, hey, let's go. I need a touch.
Yes, and it's easy for us to throw the ball around, but like the quarterback turns it over and is such a bad decision maker.
But you know
what? They're going to turn it over. But
what are you going to do then? Then go find a new quarterback. Are you ready to go see Brock Purdy? If Jimmy Garoppolo can't get it done, then find somebody to get it done. That's why I'm losing my mind right now, and I'm about to lose it again, like yesterday. We keep talking about Jimmy, and I get who Jimmy is. Mm-hmm. But damn it, Jimmy is here because of Shanahan. For 3 years, we've been saying, go get your guy. And he finally moves up to number three to go get Trey Lance. And we see Trey Lance. He's already done. Jimmy's still here. That's out Shanahan. Shanahan has to take accountability for this. Like, I'm tired of, like, yes, we know who Jimmy is. He couldn't even fire Garoppolo. They botched the entire offseason by bringing number 10 back.
But I think where I get frustrated is that, like, I see other quarterbacks get slightly better. Even the ones that aren't very good. Like, even, like, Flacco's having moments this year. Flacco! Cooper Rush won last night. Now, I think their team
the
is better
are a little
than the
overrated.
Giants. No, I agree. But it's like, I feel like I'm not seeing any progress in the right direction. It's like the same dude. And I don't think he's as bad as what we saw on Monday, or Sunday night, excuse me. But, like, I mean, how much better can it get?
Again, Baldy just said it. This offense looks stale. That's on the head coach.
Well, the one
that's on the play caller, Shasky.
The one big takeaway that I've had that I'm at the point of now, I am sick of doing the roulette at running back situation. They have got to find a guy to play running back, and they have to find someone who can take 20 carries a game, who can withstand this. If you're going to be a bell cow offense that's going to slam the ball down people's throat, get a damn bell cow.
Screw this. This is what I've been saying for years.
And I'm not saying you got to pay him.
Yeah, I've been saying this for years, and I know Mark Willard's
going to
say.
Find the guy.
I know what Mark Willard's going to say about the running back stuff. I already know it.
Yeah, but they don't have a 1,000-yard back.
Saying. This is what I've been saying.
Is
this is what I've been saying for a couple years now about that. I'm watching Saquon Barkley yesterday. When Saquon goes out and run a route, do you have to account for him?
Oh, of course.
When Saquon's lined up in the backfield, do you have to account for him?
You're marking him up no matter where he is on the field. It's the Marshall Faulk.
How many defenses fear Jeff Wilson Jr. coming out of the backfield?
Not many.
And I'm not trying to disrespect Jeff Wilson Jr.
He's a fine player.
But teams are like Jeff Wilson Jr., yeah, we'll stick our linebacker on him. If Saquon's out there, Saquon's running the route, teams are saying, I need a safety. I need a hybrid linebacker slot. I need Derwin James on Saquon Barkley. We cannot let this guy beat us.
Kamara, same thing.
You put all the running backs on the wall right now. And we could do a little fantasy football here. Yeah. Where's Jeff Wilson Jr. going?
Oh, in like the 40s or 50s. I'm just being real.
So I've been yelling to the high, get a threat in the backfield. Somebody who could do multiple things.
I mean, I'm taking two Lion running backs before I take one Niner one.
Look pretty damn good. Swift Jamal Williams and Swift. Williams.
Yeah.
Look pretty damn good. Even the third stringer looks good.
Listen to what I just said.
I know. You take them. All right. You know what time it is, Spadoni.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right. The 49ers lost another starter to injury this week. We know that Trent Williams, he's out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. But linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair suffered a sprained MCL in his right knee Sunday night. Head coach Kyle Shanahan said the injury could keep Al-Shaair out for about 8 weeks. The 49ers also announced again, Trent Williams, he's out anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, depending on how quickly the swelling subsides. Neither injury is expected to require surgery. Thank the heavens for that. But the Niners, without their left tackle and one of their linebackers, that is a problem for the Niners. Moving forward, the injury report, brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up? Your phone calls, 888-957-9570, plus Mike Holmgren at 8:30 to talk about the performance of Jimmy Garoppolo and the performance of the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. That's coming up at 8:30. But your call's next, 888-957-9570. That's sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.